What's up and welcome to Stacking Dubs. I'm your host, Chris Chin. Follow me on Twitter at Stacking Dubs. The Warriors stacked their fifth straight dubs, tied for longest on the season as they take down the Dallas Mavericks 104-100 at home, where they have had plenty of issues, but not in this one, as they move to seven games over 500 for the first time since the 21-22 championship season. Most importantly, the Warriors move three games ahead of Houston as the Rockets lose last night and the Warriors have the tiebreaker. So with seven games remaining, the Warriors can really close out their play-in hopes for the win against Houston on Thursday. But in this one, wow, a game of exciting large runs. In the first half, Dubs go on a 19-2 run where everything's clicking. The defense is tenacious. The shots are falling. Everything's going well until the Warriors fall apart and give up a 13-0 run to the Mavericks and go into the half tied. The Mavericks would add six straight more as they come out of the break for a total of a 19-0 run wrapped around halftime. Things started to look a little dicey for the Warriors at this point, but towards the end of the third quarter with Steph Curry on the bench, the second unit goes on a 22-8 run. The bench was 39-13 in the game and is really just a team effort despite an off game for Steph Curry, who only had 13 points in this one. Down the stretch, this one got close and, well, Draymond Green stepped up and really put his stamp on this game when it mattered most. Basically dominated the last 2 minutes of the game, had two driving layups that both were goaltended, count the buckets, had the defensive play of the night when he basically did four consecutive just great defensive moves, maneuvers, decisions, all sandwiched in about 3 seconds of play. Kyrie Irving coming off of a pass from Luka Doncic attacks the rim. Dre shows, forces Kyrie to pass to Daniel Gafford. Dre gets away from Kyrie, recovers to swat Daniel Gafford at the rim. Not only does he block him, he gets the subsequent steal of Tim Hardaway on the rebound and then saves the ball in bounds. Moments later, Draymond Green, a driving layup to cement the win. Absolutely great finish to this game for Draymond Green. We're not even going to mention the potential traveling call on Klay Thompson because it wasn't called. And for once, the Warriors catch a break at the end of this one and ice the game. Well, in this one, what really stood out to me was the defensive effort. And this is despite Luka Doncic's 30-point triple-double, Kyrie Irving's 27 points. Despite all that, the Warriors played great defense, surrendered no more than 27 points in any single quarter in this one, had active hands, especially Steph Curry, one of his best defensive games in a while, just hands in passing lanes, deflections, getting a lot of blocks. Most importantly, the biggest bugaboo for the Warriors all year has been over-helping on drivers, only to surrender wide-open threes. That didn't happen in this one outside of that 19-0 run. Great, great defensive focus to not collapse. Maybe it took playing an elite passer like Luka Doncic to really force the Warriors to hone in and to stay focused and stick to their man on the perimeter. But I thought in the second quarter, there was probably a 7-8 minute stretch, what was maybe the best defensive stretch, especially by our bench unit this entire season, led by GP2, who was a great dose of energy, intensity, came right into this game and just started bugging Luka. You could see Luka, even before the ball was inbounded, just couldn't help but laugh on just how much GP2 was being a pest. I love to see it. That all goes very much in sync with what I've been saying about playing with force and playing aggressively. The Warriors defensively have been very, very good since their bereavement break in early January. Since the return of Draymond Green and off of that 1 week break that we took, Warriors have played 35 games, which is almost half of a season here. Their defense is fifth rated in the NBA in that time, fourth in overall net rating. Their offense is ninth. And in that time, they are 23-12. So great stuff. The Warriors have shown that they can be an elite team, a contending team for almost half of a season now. And we continue to keep that foot on the gas, keep the defensive intensity going. as we head into the playoffs and where every single game is going to matter tenfold. This game was full of a lot of predictable aspects in terms of blown double-digit leads. I hate to say it, but all year long, Warriors have gotten up double digits, then they just lose their focus, especially at home. And this one, it happened twice. Right? In that first quarter, we already talked about it. We got up 13 at that point. Then it's followed by subsequent five turnovers and two just terrible shots that were taken or blocked. That then they gave up three or four just wide open threes, and Mavericks basically had a nice shoot around session for a few minutes, closed the gap, tied the game heading into half. This has just been the trend of the Warriors all season long, is just taking the foot off the gas on both ends of the court, turning the ball over, losing confidence once this happens, and it seems like there's no end in sight. This drought just continues. Can't stop the bleeding on the defensive end, can't turn off the faucet. But to the Warriors' credit, in this one, they hung that hat on, that defensive intensity, and it kept them in the game, limited the damage. They were able to find some buckets outside of Steph Curry, and that's why they won the game tonight. Player of the game tonight, none other than Andrew Wiggins. 23 points in this one, a lot of big buckets for the Warriors, was an efficient 50% from the field. I gotta say, I'm gonna knock on some wood as I say this. I think his 3-point shot is back. It's been looking good. There's no more of this clanking off that front iron. He's getting some lift in that shot. For the most part, most shots look online, dead center. Since he returned from his absence 13 games ago, I'm taking out the first two games. He only played like 10 to 15 minutes. But in the 13 past games, he is shooting 40% from three on 55 attempts. Pretty decent sample size. And if we're going to go back even further, we'll go back 19 games. He's shooting 44% from three. Again, that's almost a quarter of the season, large enough sample size to say, I think that shot is back to what it was the past couple years. And hopefully, the first half of this season was the anomaly. Most importantly, I like to see his aggressiveness back. He's attacking the hoop, he's attacking that mid-range. Didn't get a ton of shots to fall. Did get that baseline floater at the very end of the game in the final minute to ice the game. Got that to fall. Aggressiveness has been back. But, and I say this because I know it's not the best timing. He just had a great game. I don't want to take him down. But just what I've been noticing, it's the finishing ability for Wiggins. It just hasn't really been there this year. It starts with the hand always, but a very loose handle this year. So many just kind of missed cradles, missed dribbles, just kind of looseness with the ball. But he really needs to evolve his craftiness and his creativity as he attacks the hoop. And I mean, honestly, I think he's leaving two or three layups, so 4 to 6 points just on the rim every game. You saw it tonight. There were a couple where he got fouled, should have finished, sits on the front rim. Had another one, he kind of just kind of puts his shoulder in, elevates, comes up a little bit short. He has just so much more room to just add and get back to that 17, 18 points per game mark. He just finishes a bit better. Wiggins really just the three moves he likes the most. First is that little hurricane move, right? Where he's driving to his right. It's kind of a reverse pivot spin move, and he just kind of drop steps and goes up. It's been an effective move. But that's only going to work at most, maybe once a game. It's a big move. It's predictable once you've kind of seen it. The Euro step he used to use a bit more, and it was effective, but it also became a little bit reliant on it. But the Euro step is probably his most consistent move attacking the hoop. And then the other one is just when he's kind of at the top of the key, and he's getting a screen, he likes to reject the screen. And he does get separation and gets going to the hoop from there. But then I still have problems with him finishing. That left hand has just been non-existent. Although, as I was taking my notes on his finishing ability, he did have a great left-handed finish in this one. I would love to see that more consistently. My point is that Wiggins is back in terms of a shooter, but as far as finishing, elevating, being a vertical finisher, and just having some touch, it's still not quite what it's been in the past couple of years. He's never been a great finisher, but he used to at least finish strong. Not as much this year. I think that I have this theory, and I could be overstepping myself here, but it kind of relates to the personal issues Wiggins was having last year and also this year. And I think about his off season. I don't know if he really played that much basketball in the off season. I don't know if he did, all the workouts, the weightlifting, the explosive training that a lot of these players, especially the youngest players in this league, do. It just seems like he doesn't elevate as much as he has in the past. He's just not as strong. His just kind of touch and feel for the game isn't quite there as much. Could also explain why he didn't shoot very well from three to begin the season. I hate to put that on him and to make assumptions, but I guess the excuse is there, right? If you're dealing with personal things in your life, I could totally understand why you're maybe not as focused on your profession, your job, whatever the case may be in that off season. So it's not at all me trying to throw shade at Wiggins, but it's just my theory that, hey, maybe he was still dealing with stuff in this off season, and because of that is why his play has been struggling a little bit. And I think hopefully it's coming around, but as terms of finishing, that's what's going to need to get there if the Warriors really want to make a true run. They are going to go as Wiggins can elevate his scoring, elevate his game. You saw it tonight, the flashes of what he can be. He could be a mid 20 point scorer when he has all things going and the shots falling. I will settle for him getting to a nice consistent 17, 18 shots. And that starts with making your layups and finding ways to finish at the rim. Other heroes of this game, the entire bench unit. Already talked about it, 39 to 13 bench scoring in this game. Led by Chris Paul, first and foremost, had 14 points in this one, was 6 of 11 from the field. Great in terms of closing quarters. End of the first quarter, hit a couple threes, I believe. End of the third quarter, had 5 straight points, made a few great plays, had some good passes as to close the quarters to find open shooters. We really struggled to close quarters, close halves throughout the season, and Chris Paul did a great job to neutralize that and win the end of quarters on this one for the Warriors. Moses Moody. Can't believe we've gone this long without talking about Moody. Moody had a great game in this one, had another 12 points, hit 4 threes. He is 10 of 14 in his last three games from three. We talk about Andrew Wiggins' three-point shot being back. Moses Moody, your three-point shot is back as well. I am loving it because when Moody is hitting his threes, he brings a completely different dimension to the Warriors. Phenomenal effort, great hustle, a lot of just the little things, harassing Kyrie Irving, playing great defense against Luka Doncic. His length, he's got a 7 foot, I think he's got a 7 foot one wingspan even as a wing, which is great for defensive purposes. Just the effort. I love everything about Moody. He's been playing 20 minutes per game in the last four games. Can we continue to find him the minutes, especially if that three-point shot is falling? Brandon Podziemski in this one, unsung hero, only scored 5 points, which can be deceiving, but he had 10 rebounds, 5 assists, and oh, guess what? Yes, he led the team in plus minus again at a plus 17. Wasn't even close. By far the best plus minus in this one. GP2. Great defense. Talked about him a little bit. Had a nice steal, breakaway, reverse dunk. One of the highlight plays of the night. Also, at the end of the third quarter, as the Warriors made a great run to retake the lead, had it off of a great pass and creation from Podziemski. Had a nice back cut for another dunk. Put the Warriors up 6 at that point. Closed the quarter strong. All that being said about the bench, how do the minutes work with Jonathan Kuminga returning? Already said that he's been cleared for Thursday's game against the Rockets. He will be back. Kuminga, one of our best players, arguably our second best player on most nights. How do we fit the minutes? Does he go right back to playing his full mid-30s minutes? Do we trim him down a little bit? I've always said Kuminga needs to play as many minutes as possible, but this five-game win streak has really shown some things. The Warriors have had a defensive rating of 102.9 during this win streak. 102.9. That is insanely good. I would be shocked if there's another team in the NBA that's been better defensively in that span. Warriors defense has been great with Kuminga out. I don't know if it's because he's been out. It's really hard for me to get a grasp on Kuminga's defense. He isn't, I can tell you right now, he's not a great off-ball defender. One of the biggest gripes I have is when Draymond Green goes to leave and help another defender, which is what he does best. You have to help the helper, right? Draymond Green vacates. Kuminga oftentimes is the one that needs to fill and take Draymond's man for a defensive rebound or just a contest. Doesn't always happen. I think that's where we can struggle with Kuminga on defense. But as far as being an on-ball defender, the athleticism, guarding big, strong athletic wings, Kuminga's great for that. Do we trim his minutes back a little bit and find ways to keep getting Moody? Pajemski is going to get his minutes. GP2, and basically just this bench unit close to 20 minutes apiece. We'll see how it works. It's going to be matchup dependent, but that's something I'm looking to see out of this bench. All right, looking forward. Obviously, a huge game against Houston on Thursday, the front end of a back-to-back with the Mavericks on Friday, right after that. My question is, if we beat Houston, and that puts us up four games with the tiebreaker on them with six games to go. I think we would assume that that puts to bed the Warriors potentially falling out of the play-in. I think that would lock them up pretty much into the 10 seed with a chance at the 9 seed. I want to say the 8 seed is pretty out of reach. We're still three games back, and I just don't see that happening or it being worth chasing it. So my question is, do we rest? Is it worth trying to get home court advantage on the Lakers? We still play the Lakers. Is it worth potentially resting and getting guys like Steph, who's clearly been a little bit tired, not at his best? He was good against the Spurs with 33 last game, but he's had three games under 20 points, I believe, and lost four games, five games. But is Steph a little tired? How's that ankle doing? I mean, he said it's something that's not going to go away till the end of the season when he rolled his ankle. I mean, we have a back-to-back with the Rockets and the Mavericks. Maybe we beat the Rockets and then say, hey, let's rest everybody on the Mavericks on that back-to-back. Next week, we have another back-to-back with the Blazers and Pelicans. I could see some of the veterans, Draymond Green especially, with his back problems, resting on that back-to-back a little bit. Is it worth that to just try to be fresh heading into the play-in and give ourselves a chance at making a run into the playoffs? You think about it, especially if we're on the road, right? We would be starting on the road at the Lakers. Then 2 days later, you're on the road in another elimination game against the Suns or the Kings. Then if you win that, 2 to 3 days later, you're on the road going probably to Denver at altitude and getting right into that series there. So there's not a lot of break. There's a ton of travel. If anything, the Warriors can maybe get a little bit of rest in this next week or so, if we want to just kind of take our foot off the gas. But you risk losing your momentum. You risk the rhythm, the chemistry, everything that's going so well. You don't want to rest that, you know, we're jump shooters, you know, between Klay, Steph, everyone else, jump shooters. You don't want to take too much time off. Those are things that Steve Kerr is going to have to weigh. Personally, I think you can rest the back-to-backs. You still play the Lakers game. You still play, and we have the Jazz twice. So you play those games and then you kind of see how it goes from there and you kind of evaluate how far the risk versus reward. So anyways, guys, great job. We got a five-stack rolling. Let's keep it going. Let's keep playing strong. Let's keep playing with force. Let's just keep on stacking the dubs. All right, guys, until next time, thanks for joining me. I am your host, Chris Chin. Peace, love, and stacking dubs.